Thank the Lord for his goodness to us this morning. I've been taking note of all of the prayer requests and everything's on the prayer line and taking note of how God answers and what he has been doing. And it's so wonderful to have a record. I don't know. I never erase things on my phone, so I can scroll back and scroll back and scroll back. If you scroll back like a week or two and you just start reading through them, it's really encouraging. It's really, really encouraging to see how many desperate things were happening and we needed help with, and we needed it now, and we needed prayer for this or that. And then, you know, not very far down, answered prayer. Not very far down, answered prayer again. So it's very, very encouraging. Thank the Lord this morning for his mercy and for what he's doing. We want to start in Luke 14. Luke 14, we're going to go from the 16th to the 21st verse. This is the parable of the kingdom of God. And then said he unto him, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. In other words, he sent out the call and he let them know, you're all welcome to come. You know, everybody's welcome to come, but wasn't quite ready yet, but you're welcome to come. And then at the end of the day, when it was supper time, then he sent him out and he says, okay, everything is ready. You know, come, for all things are ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Now, Jesus called these excuses. The world would not call these excuses, but Jesus called them that. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. That seems like a reasonable request. I mean, you've just bought something that you need to go and check out and see and take care of business. Seems reasonable, but Jesus called it an excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. I have to go and see and make sure that this is what the person promised they were going to be. I have to make sure that everything is as was supposed to be with these 5. I have to prove it. I have to see it and prove it. You know, I only have so long, you know, before I have to, you know, either reject it and get my money back, whatever. You know how those things go. Seems like a good one, but Jesus called an excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. In other words, I'd rather stay here with her, and I don't really want to bring her along either. I'd rather just stay with her. I'd rather stay home, stay with her. As I was reading these scriptures, and the Lord had been impressing on me for a while about whether or not, and I guess if you were going to title this message, it would be, is God an add-on? In other words, there are people that live their lives the way they want to live them, and they do what they want to do and everything, but they just kind of add God on it. God doesn't really have much say in my life. I still do what I want to do and everything, but I add him in. Oh, yes, I believe in God. I go to church on Sundays. I add him in, but my life goes on the way I pretty much want it to go. Is God an add-on? Are we just adding him into our already busy schedule, and that's why there's never enough time for him, because we just added another duty on to our busy schedule? So it's hard to find time for all of the things that we have. And he's just been added on. So he doesn't get the priority in our lives that he should. It says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Why did he say, go get these? Why did he say, go get these? The poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Because they are the ones that are probably looking for some help. They're looking for something to better their lives. They're looking, if you feel very confident and you have your life together and the money's coming in like it's supposed to and everything, you don't feel much of a need to add much into your life. But if you are not doing so well and it's a little harder, you're looking for some help. You're looking for some kind of way to make my situation better.
Yeah.
And so when they find the Lord, when the ones that are looking, that don't have everything that they think they want, don't have it all together, don't have, when they find God, they put him in a different place. They tend to look at God as the one that came in and helped me when there was no help. The one that healed, as we heard what Sister Dorothy testify this morning, that healed all of this inward thing that was in my life for so many years. And he healed it. And so I began to bring God in and make him the center of my life. He's not an add-on anymore. He's the center. And then all the other things I do around him. But too many in this day and age, there are many, many out there that, and they just want to be called by the name, just want to be called by the name of Christian, or they just want to throw out Jesus's name here and there. They just want to say, to make themselves feel better. I go to church on Sundays or almost every Sunday. They just added him in to their life. We believe that you want him to be your life, that you want to put him first in the center. And then you build all of this life that you had before, you build it around God. You don't just go on with your life and just think that I'm just going to have this life and Jesus is here too. No, he's going to step in. If you'll let him, he'll step in and begin to change your priorities in life. He'll begin to take center stage, and you will want him to, and you will enjoy it because of all the things that he brings with him when he does that. If we just add God on, we never really know all of the benefits that he has. We never really know all of the things he can do for us when we just kind of tag him along with our busy life. But when we put him the center and he begins to then infiltrate into all the different things that we have in our life. And as we know, as he begins to infiltrate into those things, what happens? We begin to find some things that just don't mean very much to us anymore. And those things drop out of our life. There's some things that we find out that we love too much, but because Jesus is the center, we realize, oh, we have to work on that. That's not good for me. I love that too much. I need to do something about that. So God begins to be the center of everything instead of just the add-on to my busy life. Just one more thing to add in. And if you drop down to the 33rd verse, it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus said, you cannot be his disciple unless you forsake all that you have. That life that you have built for yourself, that the likes and the dislikes that you have put in your life, the things that you give your time to and the things that you don't give any time to, all of those things and decisions that you have made for yourself, he says, unless you forsake all of that, you can't be my disciple. We have to give up our mind and where what we think are most important things in life. We have to do better than what we were doing before. We have to not just add him in, but let him come in and take over residence and actually run our lives. I know we don't like to think that way. We like to think we are the master of our own life. But if you live for the Lord, you cannot be the master of your own life and let the Lord be the master of your life. How is that going to work? You have to let him be the master of your life. You have to forsake all and cleave to him so that you can have the life that he has intended for you to have. God has a purpose and a plan for everyone, and he's looking to fulfill it in your life, but you have to let him be the center. You have to let him be the center. That's why when she was singing that song this morning, I was thinking, and she was talking about, you know, giving up friends and all these different things. Yes, you have to let God be the center of your life. You can't just keep everything the way it was before and add God in. Because as you begin to add more and more of God in your life, and let's face it, we all start out with God as the add-on. As we add him more and more into our life, he begins to displace some of those things. And the things that aren't good for us and the things that don't benefit us, he begins to displace and put out of our life. Another way that Jesus said it in Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? See, there are many, many people in this world that don't want to exchange anything for their soul to go to heaven. They want to live their life. They want to keep it like it is. They want to add God in and then have heaven too. They don't want to exchange anything for the life and for heaven. They don't want to exchange anything for their soul. They just want to add on something, just add on another layer. And that is what we do in life anyway, as we grow and mature and we add a job and we add responsibility. And now we have a car, and then now we have a home we have to take care of, and all these things. We keep adding responsibility and we grow in that. Well, it's the same way with the Lord. He wants to add on to us, and he wants to exchange some things. You want your soul to go to heaven? You're going to have to exchange. You're going to have to trade. You're going to have to trade some things. You can't have it all. You can't have your old life and everything that you have in it and just live there and then just give a little bit of time to the Lord and a little prayer here and a little reading there and come to church on Sunday. But the rest of the time, I'm living my life. I'm living it to the fullest. I'm going here and I'm going there and I'm enjoying this and I'm doing that and I'm and everything. And I hardly, my heart, my mind hardly goes to the Lord through the day unless I hit a problem or something. And then I say, oh, Lord, help me. And that's about as far as it goes. That's just adding God on to your life, not putting him the center of your being now. That the fact that he has a heaven for you to go to, and that there are rules and there are stipulations that are put upon us to make it there. And yet people think that I don't have to make changes. I don't need to do this any different. I don't need to do that any different. God knows me. He knows my heart. He knows what I like and what I don't like. And he's just going to give it to me just the way I want it and the way I like it and everything. But God wants to be the center, the very center of our lives, not just added on as an afterthought. You wouldn't want to be invited someplace, would you? To find out only in the end, here you got this invitation and you felt so honored, but then just to find out that somebody had RSVP'd and said they couldn't come, so then they've invited you. That would be hard, wouldn't it? You didn't get it in the beginning, but now you got it because somebody else backed out. But that's how we treat the Lord. We want him to come and help us. I'm having trouble. I need you to help me right here. But in the good times, I'm living my life to the fullest. I'm doing what I want to do. And if I have good health today, then I'm going to run and I'm going to do this and that and everything. I'm going to do what I want to do. It doesn't matter what God wants me to do. But when I get into trouble or I'm not feeling so good, or now I'm praying, now I'm looking to the Lord, now I'm trying to see. We can't just add God in and out of our lives like that. He's either going to be the center or he's not going to be anything to us. All right, in Matthew 25, 14 through 18, I have quite a few scriptures here, and I may not just read them all. I may just talk a little bit about them. But it's talking about the parable of the talents. And we know this is talk, and I want to relate this to when we get saved. In other words, God, when we get saved, he requires some things. He expects some things. He gives us some things. He forgives us for some things. He wants to add in some things or whatever. And you might want to look at that as, okay, those are the talents that he gives. But what did these people do? The one that was given five talents, he gained five talents. Now, how do you think he did that? Did he just leave God on the outside? Or did he make him the center of something? Was he concerned about it every day? Was he really looking to the Lord every day, trying to figure out, what can I do with this that you've given me, Lord? And what can I do to profit you? Do you understand? It's to profit the Lord, not to profit ourselves. It's to profit the Lord. And then it says that he gave another two, and he gained two also. So it's not about how much we do. It's about letting God be all in all to us.
Yeah.
He gained. We're supposed to gain. It's not just that I continue to go on and live my life and be what I am and who I am, and I just add God in as an afterthought. No, he's supposed to come in, and we are supposed to then be concerned about his talents, concerned about his kingdom, concerned about what he's concerned about, working for what he's working for, all of those kinds of things. But then you saw that the last one, and he only received one. And what did he do with it? He just digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He just hid it. He just digged in the earth and hid it. Do you think that it was ever then for all that time on his mind? No, he had put it in a safe place. Okay, this is where you are, Lord, right here in this little corner of my life. And now I'm going to go and live my life, and I don't have to worry about it at all, because I just hid. I just, as the world says, I've accepted the Lord. I just hid it right here. That's all I did with it. Just hid it. And ever so often I'll say, oh, yes, I've accepted the Lord. And then the Lord comes back and you say, well, Lord, I accepted you. It's still here, right here. Right where you started. You're right here where you started. I accepted you. And you know what the Lord called that person, don't you? And what he said to him in the verse 30, it said, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unprofitable servant. In other words, I'm called by your name, but I'm really of no use to you. God can't use me to do anything. He can't use me to speak a word in season. He can't use me to show the world how to live right. He can't use me to show the kingdom of heaven and what it can do on the inside of me, because I've just hit it all. I've just got it compartmentalized in this little cubbyhole right here, you know. But he's right there. I can see him. Okay, he's right there. I'm good. But I'm going to live my whole life how I want to live it. But in the end, he didn't make it. You know, that's why those scriptures in the Bible are there that say, when they got to the end and the servant said, but didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he says, I didn't know you. Why? Because you just brought me into your busy life and you kept doing whatever you wanted to do. And you just did a little thing for me here and a little thing over there. And oh, give money. Okay, I'll give money. You know, or you do this. Okay, I can do that. Oh, serve in a soup kitchen for a day. Sure, I can do that. And then I get to heaven and I say, I served in the soup kitchen. And the Lord says, I didn't even know you. You wouldn't even let me in. We didn't have any intimate conversations. We never talked about what you needed in your life. You never talked about how you felt empty or anything. You were so busy with all of your stuff and you just wanted to add me in. Even the best of a saved person, you're going to find places as you go along where you have not let the Lord thoroughly come in and visit you there. You know what I'm saying? He's just kind of an add-on. You kind of skip over it. Don't want to pray about it. Might have to change some things. Don't want to make it a matter of prayer. Know how the Lord feels about it. Know how I was raised. Know how I was taught. But I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to reason with the Lord about it. I'm just going to hide it here. I'm just going to hide it under the ground here. But Lord, you're right here. I'm going to hide this little thing right here. And you're going to go all the way to the end. And are you going to have enough to get in to God's heaven? If you didn't want him to be ruler here, how well are you going to fit in heaven where he's ruler there? If you didn't want to give up your own ways and the way that you did and everything here, then what makes you think you would fit in heaven where they have all given up all to follow Jesus? If God were to let people like that in, do you think it would be heaven anymore? Do you think it would be heaven anymore? Here's the person over here that's earnest and worshiping God all the time and everything. And this one's over here. Well, I think I'll just go walking today. And, you know, I don't necessarily need to see Jesus today. I'll just walk around and visit with everybody and we wouldn't fit in. God won't let us be there. He's either going to be our all in all. He created man so that he could be all in all to man. He wanted love and respect and obedience and all those things that he wanted from us. And we kick him out of our lives and then say, no, I'm going to live it my way and I'm going to give you this little tiny place right here. And then at the end, he's going to open up the gates abundantly and say, come on in, you did good. I got to thinking about some of the stories in the Bible and I wanted to talk about Abram and Lot. Now, which one do you think made God his all in all? And which one do you think put God as an add-on? It's easy to see. Abraham, doing everything that he could to live right, and when the herdsmen couldn't get along, gave Lot the choice. And Lot, what was he doing all the time? He was looking to himself, looking to his advantage, looking to get what he wanted. He left with his uncle, and his uncle, you know what? His uncle was very rich. And he had lots of cattle, and it says, and silver and gold. He had all those things. This is not a hardship to live with an uncle like that. Is that a hardship? Maybe he didn't have that much going for him at home. We don't know. It doesn't tell us a backstory on Lot very much. But we have a backstory on Abraham. And what happened? The very thing that Lot had been doing all along, when he got the chance to choose land, he chose the best. This is what he's been doing all along, is figuring out which way do I go and what's going to be the best for me. And then he didn't just take the valley and pitch his tent going out into the mountains. No, he pitched it. He looked right at Sodom. Looked right at Sodom and Gomorrah. And where he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. He ended up to where he didn't even have enough of a mind left to flee Sodom and Gomorrah on his own. He had to be led out. God just had to have mercy on him and lead him out. So who just added God in to their life and kept all their stuff and kept all their ways and kept all their thoughts and kept everything they wanted the way they wanted it? And who actually left father and mother and land and home and went to a place he didn't know he was going? And then once he got there, you know, the Lord has given him all these promises, but it was years and years and years before the promises were fulfilled. But he stayed obedient and faithful in all that time. Who put God as the center and who just added him on? So in Acts, the fifth chapter, verses 1-3, we're talking about Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to just add God on. You see, there were those that were letting God take over their whole life, that God was inspiring them to sell their property and give it in a way to help the Lord's work. And they were willing to do with less. They were letting God have their whole life. And Ananias and Sapphira didn't do that. They didn't have to give it all. I mean, yeah, I think it was Peter said, he said, why have you done this? No, nobody said you had to give us all the money. You could have just said, come and said, we're giving a part to, and they would have said, thank the Lord. We're glad to have a part. But they wanted the recognition and what they thought the others were getting by giving it all, but they really didn't want to give all. That's what a lot of people do. They add God into their lives and they want to be called by the Christian and they want to be able to, you know, relax with that. And they want to say, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven someday, so I don't have to think about death. And they want to have all that, but they really don't want to give all to the Lord. I still want to live my life. I mean, I'm still an individual. I'm still trying to find myself. How can I give everything to God and I can't even find myself? But it says that we know that they both died. You know, God is not mocked. And people that want to go on living their lives the way they want to and just want to add God in, God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. When they're doing all of these evil things, when they're living life the way they want to live it, when they'll even tell you, I know this is wrong, but I'm living that way, you know, but God understands me. He knows how hard this is for me. All right, what about in Acts 8:9-10? Simon the sorcerer. You remember Simon. But there was a certain man named Simon who before time in the same city used sorcery, bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. They were duped. Yeah. And he enjoyed the status. He enjoyed being looked up to. He enjoyed that they were saying, oh, look at this great power of God. Well, then he ran into the great power of God. See, in the disciples. He actually found out what the great power of God was. And he watched and he looked. And it says in the 13th verse, it says, then Simon himself believed also. So he was believing. But what was he believing? He wasn't believing that God was going to take over his whole life. He was still operating under the idea that I will add into my life whatever I need to be great, to be worshiped, to be looked up to be called wonderful. I will add those things in. But I still have my own thoughts and my own agenda of why I'm letting him in. But he believed. He saw it. He saw the power of God. But his mind, he wasn't letting him become the center. And when Simon in the 18th verse, it said, in the 13th verse, it said that he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Things he knew he couldn't do. Things he had never been able to do. He had bewitched. He had sorcery. He had bewitched the people. But he had never really had this kind of power. In the 18th, 19th, and 20th verse, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Do you know that this is how Simon had gotten everything that he had ever gotten, no doubt? Why would you resort to offering money unless it was the way you have always lived? No doubt he offered people money to learn this thing. He offered them money to buy a book on sorcery and witchcraft and different things. And he went and talked with this person and offered them money for this and money for that. And he was all the time looking to improve himself and his status and where he was going to stand and everything. And he wasn't afraid to give a little bribe and a little money on the sidelines to make it happen. Anyway, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But what did Peter say to him? Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. See, people like this, they won't give themselves. They want to purchase it some kind of way. Do you know there are people out there that give to the church all the time? They give to the church. They want to purchase something. What do you think they're doing? What do you think is happening with people that refuse to allow God into their life, but they're constantly giving money, money, money to this or that project or this or that and giving money? What do you think they're doing? They're trying to purchase something from the Lord. They're trying to purchase it. Instead of just taking the free gift and giving themselves, they're trying to use money to purchase what they need from the Lord. I want to add, God, I want to be able to say, I give to the church and I'm concerned about the church. And I want to say, oh, I remember my mother and I remember my great grandmother, everything. And they were so good. And so I give to the church. I do these things. They think it's going to get them something. They wouldn't do it otherwise. They wouldn't do it. They think that instead of maybe God is dealing with their lives and maybe God is trying to call themselves to come, but they don't want to give of themselves, so they give money. Do you know God won't trade your soul for money? You have to give yourself. To redeem your soul, you have to give yourself. Then your soul can be redeemed. But this is what he thought. So God was just kind of a add on, even though he believed because he saw the miracles, he saw the signs, he saw what they were doing, and he knew he didn't have that kind of power. So he believed in that power. He didn't necessarily believe in the gospel message. He believed in the power that they had. And so he went along with it because this is what everybody did that believed in the power. But then when it got right down to it and he saw what they could do and how the Holy Ghost would come on people and how what it would do and how it would change and everything, then he reverted back to his old way. And he said, okay, so I'll give you some money and you let me have this power. Do you think if do you think he'd gotten that power, do you think he'd have stayed with Philip? No, he would not have stayed with Philip. He would have gone out on his own and proclaimed himself some great person, and he would have been going around and trying to give the Holy Ghost to people that didn't even weren't even saved. You see what I'm saying? He was looking out for him. God was not really the center of his life. He was just trying to add him on to what he already had. The last one we want to talk about is Judas. John 12, 4 and 6 says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Remember? He's all indignant. Why was this ointment wasted? Why was it wasted? It had been put on Jesus' feet, I believe. He says, why was this done? He said, he's all indignant, trying to look as if, oh, you know, this could have been given to the poor. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor. He wanted to look like he cared for the poor. You see, he's still this conniving thief. But because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. In other words, he got to make some decisions about the money. And Judas was all about money. He was all about money. He was a thief. He was all about getting something for nothing. So he was all about getting something for nothing, because that's what a thief is. Getting something for nothing. I pay no price, but I get it anyway. That's what a thief is. So now I want you to notice that when Jesus called his 12, he gave them all the same powers. Do you remember that? Do you know Judas had those powers? Judas had that. Jesus didn't treat him any different than the others. He gave him all the same things. He gave him all the same prayers. I'm sure he prayed for him just like he prayed for Peter and all of the other disciples. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. But he also knew. He chose him for a reason. He knew what was in his heart. He knew what would have the sway over him in his life. He knew what it was going to be. He knew that. But he treated him the same. But here he is in the Matthew, the 26th chapter, 14 and 16. It says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests. This is a whole nother level that he has dropped to, a whole nother level. And he said unto them, what will you give me? You see, he's still all working about. He's still working the angles. You ever seen a person like that? Always working the angles. Always trying to find out how to get this for nothing. How to switch this around and do this and rob Peter, so to speak, to pay Paul, as the saying goes in the world. Doing all these things to what? To get for me. To get the most for me. It's not about getting it for you. It's about getting it for me. And they said unto him, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, is Jesus the center of Judas's life? Yes. And yet he had the same recognition. He had the same opportunities. The Lord treated him the same as the others. Do you know that when there are those that are among us that really aren't living all they should be living and are kind of, you know, wishy-washy or whatever, do you know that God gives reins on them among us? He gives them the same thing that he's given us. Yeah. He gives them the same opportunities. He does all those things. But they're not fooling God. God understands perfectly where they are. But he sought opportunity to betray him. And it says in Matthew 27:1-5, "And when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death." Judas had come in and betrayed him with a kiss. "And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. In other words, he had in his mind, like all thieves and robbers, if I take this money from them, they'll get more. You know, I'm not completely ruining them because I steal these things out of their home. They'll get more. They have jobs. They have money. They'll buy more. I'm not really doing them that bad. I'm not sending them out into the streets and into the gutter, and they can't, you know, don't have food on their table anymore. They're going to be able to eat tonight. You see, that's a thief's philosophy in their head. And so they live their life like that. And so when they bring God into a person that is like that, and they bring God into their life, what happens? If God doesn't come in and doesn't become the center, they continue to have that thieving way about them. You know, to where, oh, it's not so bad. Well, I didn't mean to hurt their feelings. And you just mistook that. They just continue to have that. I'm not really hurting you. And then he repented and brought again the 30 pieces of silver, saying, "I have sinned, and then I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Because he didn't let God be the center, he finally ran up against something in his thieving ways, his inner man, the who he is. You know that real person you are? That you don't let God in and take care of and don't let him be the center? That will remain the center of you. And it will defeat you in the end. Why do you think so many people in the end have lost out? Because there was something down in the center of their life that they allowed to stay and did not give God the full center and build their life around him. They just added him in to their life. And if it was something they didn't like, they let him clean that out. But if there were some things that they really liked, they had all kinds of reasons and philosophies and everything of why that isn't necessary for them, even though others are doing it, and all these. You see, we can either let God come in and be the center of our lives, or he's just an add-on. And an add-on will not get you to heaven. He's got to be the center. He's got to be our all in all. We've got to wrap our life around him. And as we wrap our life around him, if he says this has got to go, we got to let it go. If he says this attitudes are not godly, we have to let those go. If he says that this is in your life and you spend more time with this than you spend with me, we have to let that go. We have to let God be the center. Then we can make it to heaven. Then we can make it to heaven. But if we've just added him into our life, just because we want to, I just want to feel like I'm going to go to heaven now. Whew, that's That's good. That's over. I don't think about that anymore. But yet we don't let the Lord keep dealing with this and become more and more the center. Because let's face it, that's where we all start. But with the ones that let God become more and more to them, the ones that let God in to those dark secret places in their life and let him clean up those things. See, those are the ones that are going to make it all the way to heaven. The other ones are in jeopardy every hour, because that thing that is keeping Jesus out, do you think God's going to overlook it at the gate? Is he going to overlook it when he's talked to you, he's warned you, he's given you new examples, he's given you scripture, he's given you messages, he's given you all these things, and you think you're going to walk into heaven with that still in your life? See, that's just adding God on, not really letting him be the center of your life. Amen.
And 4.